Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, I was turning through the Chicago Tribune over the weekend. I love the stuff that Christopher Borelli writes, and he had a piece. Well, the headline is called, An 1853 Law Gave Black People 10 Days to Leave Illinois. You were never taught this in history, and Northwestern Project hopes to change that. It begs the question, you know, how much do you know about Illinois when it comes to laws involving black people before the Civil War? We tend to think of the fight as only being in the South, but certainly things were limited here. It was an eye-opening article for me, and one of the professors behind this great new project is named Kate Mazur, professor of history at Northwestern University. She joins us now. Professor, welcome.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
All right, so tell me about the state of free black people in the state of Illinois before the Civil War.
Well, as you mentioned, Illinois started, the legislature started with statehood, passing laws that were designed to discourage African Americans from moving into the state. The laws required black people to register with local officials. They barred African Americans from testifying in court cases involving whites. They banned black children, or they established schools for white children only, and then went so far in 1853 as to try to ban any future black migration into the state. And that's where that headline came from, because that 1853 law sponsored by John Logan from Southern Illinois said that if you were black and you came into the state and stayed for more than 10 days, you could be arrested and basically sold for jail fees to work off your fine if you couldn't give a good account of yourself.
This was a free state. Illinois was considered a free state, and this was happening.
Exactly. I mean, and that's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't really know, is that Illinois was not the only state. Indiana and Ohio also had similar laws that were really anti-black and that were really designed to obviously not institute slavery, but to try to keep the black population small, because legislators considered African-American population to be something that they did not want to see in the state.
Interesting to me that the arguments against black people now were the arguments against black people then.
We see a lot of rhetoric in this period, the idea that we don't want people to come into the state because they'll be poor, they'll be dependent, they'll be criminals. And this was completely contradicted by the fact that the African Americans moving into the state, many were poor. They were moving from slavery, from places where they had been enslaved, but they were very interested in making new lives in the state of Illinois, just like a lot of white people who moved here. They wanted to work hard, buy farms, get jobs, send their kids to school. And so, but yet at the same time, in that period, as now, there were these racial stereotypes that factored into how people saw these laws.
You know, I'll tell you this, Professor. I think I had an uncle who was involved in, you know, trying to force the Mormons out of Central Illinois. I knew that part of the history. I never knew this one. And so then this all leads to the Colored Conventions movement of the 19th century. Never heard of it. Explain it for me.
Yeah, thanks so much. So one of the things our website was designed to do is highlight black resistance to these laws. So even though the black population in the state was quite small, African Americans not only tried to put down roots, raise their families, establish churches and schools, but also fight back, try to get the legislature to repeal these racist laws. And they held their first statewide convention in Chicago in 1853, partly in response to that law sponsored by John Logan. And they were part of a larger movement all across, mainly the free states at the time, of black conventions organizing politically to try to make the United States less racist.
Kate Mazur is a professor of history at Northwestern University. And so what was the agenda like at these conventions? I mean, was it sort of a who are we and how do we belong? Was it sort of a defiant you must accept us? Or tell me a little bit about the demeanor that way.
That's an interesting question. I would say there were both kind of discussions internal to the black community and external facing white people. So people talked about, well, how do we start our own schools? How should we be raising our children? What does upright living look like? They were interested in temperance, just like a lot of white people were at the time. So those were like the internal conversations, but also outward facing, protesting discrimination, demanding better treatment by whites, saying that we are citizens, we belong here, you cannot try to drive us out of here, and you should consider us Americans just like everybody else.
And so was this, I mean, there were different tones in different parts of the country. Clearly this was better than the South. Was it about the same as New England, or was the Midwest sort of an in-between land there?
I guess one way of saying it is in between, in the sense that New England did not have these anti-black laws. In many places in New England and many of those states, black men could also vote on the same terms as white men, whereas here in the Midwest, African-American men were not permitted to vote until the 15th Amendment was ratified in 1870. So they were fighting sort of steeper problems here in the Midwest. And yet at the same time, people did keep moving here. I mean, the black laws themselves were pretty ineffective. People moved into the state anyway. There were many places in the state where those laws were not enforced, and people really put down roots. So it's a complicated story.
All right, so all of this to say that you've put together this project where you're building resources online with the idea that school systems around the state or around the country will utilize it and will start learning. It's not that it's good or that it's bad. It's us. It's where we were at that time, and it's something we should learn about.
Absolutely. And that's why, I mean, our exhibit and the larger Colored Conventions Project, and you can find it just by Googling Colored Conventions Project on Google. Ours is called Black Organizing in Pre-Civil War Illinois. It's all free. There's no paywall. People can spend as much time with it as they want. And yes, we are absolutely hoping that teachers will be interested in bringing some of these materials into their classroom.
Listen, I'm glad you were here. You taught me a lot, and I appreciate it. Good luck with the project.
Thank you so much.
Professor Kathy Mazur from Northwestern University. We had a text question, said, please post this segment on our podcast, and we will do that at WGNradio.com. All right, we're going to make our way into the Northwestern Medicine newsroom, and then coming up after the news, let's go to San Diego and figure out why people are moving to Mexico. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. WGN!